Nous écouterons maintenant une présentation de Ronald Banz.
Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about the little delay here. I'm Ambassador Ronald Barnes from Alaska. We've done several diplomatic protests against the United States of America. We did this because Alaska was placed on the list of non-self-governing territories in 1946 under General Assembly Resolution 1466I. In 1946, it was removed in 1959. One of the things the United States did was they denied that we were informed. They denied that we, in our language, and I will demonstrate here in these resolutions where language, communication, and self-determination go hand in hand. We know that Article 1 of the Covenant of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights says, all peoples have the right to self-determination. By virtue of that right, they freely determine their political status and freely pursue their economic, social, and cultural development. Language is an inherent attribute of culture, and when we talk about the political right and we associate with the economic, social, and cultural rights, we have the right to economic development, social development, and to cultural development. Given that, the indigenous peoples of Alaska had under the decolonization process the right to be informed in our languages. In 1949, the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 328 was adopted, and it invited the administering powers to take steps where necessary to establish equal treatment in matters related to education between inhabitants of the non-self-governing territories under their administration, whether they be indigenous or not. When you look at the resolution, this was one where the United States of America diplomat made a point of contention because during the deliberations of the draft declaration on the rights of indigenous peoples, he stated that there is no resolution adopted by the United Nations that uses the term indigenous peoples. And we said, no, that's not true. General Assembly Resolution 329 states that recognizing the importance of preserving and developing the languages of indigenous peoples of non-self-governing territories and noting the appreciable steps already taken in connection by the administrating members, invites the administering members to promote the use of indigenous languages in the territory under their administration, and to make these languages where and whenever possible the languages of instruction. Of course, we know that the United States did not enact or fulfill the promise or the obligation that the indigenous peoples of Alaska had. On January 21st, Chief Marie Smith Jones had passed on. She was the chief of the Eyak Nation. I spoke with her on Friday, and she died on the following Monday morning. We talked about some things. She said to me in previous conversations, she asked me about the Russian influence. She asked me about my Russian name, and I was surprised because her being an Eyak speaker and being influenced, why she would go back to this Russian influence. And I said, well, my Russian name is Michael. You would say it in Yupik Mikhaila, of course, Mikhail in Russian. But it's just a part of religion and the religious influence that we have because of colonialism. I took Marie to the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues in 2002. She made a speech to the Permanent Forum, and when she started out her speech, she said, when I was a little girl in school, We went outside for recess to play. We weren't supposed to speak our languages. But as you know, when you're a child, there's always a snitch. So there were some of us who were speaking our language. When we got back in, one of the other IAC children went up to the teacher and said, so-and-so was speaking their language. So she said to Marie, in front of the class, she said, Marie, I want you to go outside and I want you to get a switch. I want you to take from the bushes some switches and I want you to bring that back in. So she went outside, she came back in, she got the switch, of course, and she was beaten on the hands for speaking her language. Of course, we know that the United States did not fulfill their obligations. Otherwise, the indigenous peoples of Alaska, the many languages, the rich culture that we have. I myself am Central Yupik, and I come from the Central Yupik area. The IAC language is a very small part of Alaska, the IAC territories, as you can see right here. And there are about 9 major languages in Alaska. And throughout this period, what the United States did was they brought us to boarding schools and they taught us in the language, in English, in the American language. And they discouraged us from speaking. So when you look at the history of colonization and the right to determine your status, General Assembly Resolution 42 noted that the further the Committee on Information from Non-Self-Governing Territories on the administering power was to report on the educational conditions, and I'll highlight these two portions, to promote the social progress of the territories, taking into account the basic cultural values and the aspirations of the peoples concerned, to secure the extension of the intellectual development of the peoples so as to provide them access to all levels of culture. Now, in other indigenous decolonization resolutions, the United States were to inform us of our languages. We were to have representatives of indigenous peoples from Alaska. These representatives were to come to the United Nations to be able to know, to speak on the matter and the issue of decolonization, and to bring this back and fully inform our indigenous peoples. The indigenous peoples of Alaska never had the opportunity. Instead, the United States of America created a law in 1926, which they kept in until 1971. And in this law, the indigenous peoples were not to vote unless we could read 3 or 4 paragraphs of the Constitution of the United States of America. And we were supposed to interpret this, what was said. And they did this because in the early 20s, the United States realized that we were stopping so-called statehood development. When the indigenous peoples were going to the voting polls, they were informed by one lawyer in Alaska who would say, here's the picture. You have a box here, and these are the choices you are going to make. In order to preserve and to protect your land, your territory, and resources, you're going to have to mark your X here. So the indigenous peoples up there really did not know what was on the piece of paper, but it was explained that here's the picture and this is where you need to mark your X, so we were stopping statehood development. So the United States created the law subjecting us to $500 fine, 6 months in jail, or both if we attempted to come and we could not read, write, speak in English. And it was in clear violation of the General Assembly resolutions adopted, stating that we had to be fully informed to know and speak on the matter, to make a free, informed choice, and to know the consequence of our choice. The result being that Marie Smith Jones and the IAC language died on January 21st, 2008, because our people were not able, the IAC people were not able to be taught in the schools as was called for in the resolutions. They were not explained all the information, and there was no development, no social development, as far as developing and progressing the culture that's interrelated and connected with the political interest and the right to self-determination. All of these aspects are part of our right to self-determination. And in the late 80s, we discovered that we had this right because the state of Alaska submitted a report where they stated that we had the right of independence, we had the right to a compact of free association, or we had the right to drop our own level of relationship. When we discovered this, we started doing civil resistance, and we started informing our own people in our languages. There's one other thing I wanted to point out here, and that is, as a Yupik, we had our own written language. It was developed by one individual. He was from the Moravian, inspired because he saw that other peoples who came had written languages. So you could see on the first part there where he started writing, and this is done in one single lifetime. It developed into the second, it developed into the third, the fourth, and the final, where all of the Yupik language, we had our own alphabet, we had many books written in our language. The United States of America confiscated these books, they took them to Washington and put them in the where we couldn't reach them, but we managed to preserve about five of them. They didn't want the world to think that we were civilized, so that was one of the reasons they took all this information from us. Because if we were civilized, then we had the right of self-determination. It would show more that we weren't just a backward indigenous peoples, as some would have liked to claim, but that we were actually people who could make choices, who could develop, and who could do things on our own. One of the comparisons that we made in some of our writings and explaining to some of our people is that just like the Japanese in their revolution in the 1800s, they moved from being a traditional people to an industrial people who developed, and we told the United States of America, we have the right to develop just as any other people, and we demonstrated that we have the ability to do so. And so they did everything they could to stop any information from being disseminated, even to the American public. I don't know if I could play the video of the Chief Marie from this. Yeah. Very recently, in 2006, we submitted to the Human Rights Committee some of the background information relating to our historic to our history with Russia and to the United States. In these shadow reports, we showed that the United States of America denied to Tsarist Russia that they acquired Alaska in the early 1800s. Russia wanted to regulate trade and commerce with all the European nations of the world and all others who were coming up there. And the United States said, no, you cannot do this. You're sitting on islands adjacent to the continent, on Sitka, Kodiak. These are your permanent posts. And look, you have the Spanish settlement, Valdez and Cordova. What are they doing on the mainland? And you never objected to their settlement. There's also British settlements, and these indigenous peoples, they've traded with Portugal, with Spain, with United States of America, with France, with Great Britain, and you never said nothing about it. So they said, using Vattel and his treatise Law of Nations, they said, as far as we're concerned, you have not acquired this vast territory. These are independent tribes inhabiting an independent territory, and you cannot interdict or stop us from trading directly with them. They are a sovereign peoples. They didn't say the word peoples because that concept, but they are sovereign and independent natives, just as independent as any European nation, and we have the right to trade with them. So, based on the information we submitted not only to the Human Rights Committee and to the CERD Committee, the CERD Committee recently posed the question, why didn't the United States involve the indigenous peoples in the vote in 1958? And they stated further that your original treaties with the Indian nations are as with sovereign nations. They are international treaties because you ratify them, you sign and ratify them through your Congress, just as any other foreign nation. I also put in the shadow report that the term Indians not taxed, placed in the Constitution of the United States of America, the reason why this term was placed, going all the way back to the Federalist Papers, was because the United States of America back then stated that they were not part of the political community of the United States of America, therefore they were foreign nations. So that was the original intent and relationship of United States of America with Indian nations, and through time they erased this through Supreme Court decisions and through aggressing with the Indian nations. Alaska is a little bit more difficult because we were placed on the list of non-self-governing territories as a state of peoples who have the right to exercise self-determination. We lodged diplomatic protests against the United States, and we still claim that we have never ceded any of our international rights to the United States. And because we were not informed in our languages, as stated in General Assembly resolutions, we did not know. We could not communicate to our other people in our languages. We did not inform them. Therefore, we did not consent. They did not fulfill the fully informed consent principle that they were obligated to. So we did not cede anything to them. Therefore, we still have the right of independence. So last, I guess I'll let you listen to this prayer. Marie Smith Jones.
That's all.
Lastly, I would like to say about her is she promoted our right of independence and our international right of self-determination. One of the things that she left me with, and she said, always remember that there's always a snitch, and there's always going to be those people who are going to say yes on our behalf without knowing, without understanding, and without us really knowing the consequence of our decision or consenting. And because of this, the tribes that I work with in Alaska, they adopted resolutions stating that the United States of America is founded on the principles of taxation without representation and consent of the government. We never consented. Therefore, why should we pay taxes to an occupying power who is coming in, taking our resources, leaving a fraction of those resources for us, as if they own the territory? And so I'm here in exile for almost 5 years because I was ordered not to pay taxes and to carry on that principle, because I would be arrested on entrance if I returned to the United States. And some of our people in Alaska are still refusing to pay taxes because they're saying, this is our way of doing nonviolent civil resistance, and this is not your country, and we are not going to cede to your jurisdiction. Therefore, we're not going to pay you. This is not your country. So that's basically the presentation I have. As far as language, communication, the right of self-determination, you need to be informed, you need to consent, you need to know and speak on the matter in your language as it was elaborated in General Assembly resolutions. If you do not, you did not consent. Therefore, we still assert that our international legal status still exists. Thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador Barnes. I'd like to remind those of us in the audience who aren't that familiar with the tradition of the Esperanto working principles that we work for linguistic democracy, and we have always insisted that linguistic democracy cannot flourish without human rights. So we're interested in the whole context moving forward. So we are with you in this struggle. In what ways our being with you can have teeth, I cannot now say. But that's all that I need to say to connect with the work that we do in many parts of the world. Thank you for being with us and for sharing what you've been through with us. Thank you very much.